You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
What up? What's happening? Just a touch of technical difficulties there. Getting this plane off the ground. It's the DNVR, DNBA show from DNVR Nuggets, part of DNVR and the All City Network, baby. Presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top rated sportsbook, where you can win a bunch of money. But we'll talk to you more about that later. I got to introduce our panel. There is plenty to discuss today. Josh Kroenke did, in fact, speak with the media after testing negative for COVID. We will give you the details. We will react to the details. With me today, of course, Adam and Harrison, still not a part of the crew.
Nope, still fired.
Still fired. That's D-Line Co., also known as Eric Company.
That's right, guys. I was not part of this. I am very eager to hear about this as well. I am testing negative for the Denver Nuggets. I've been very negative about the Denver Nuggets. So I'm very eager to hear your thoughts and react in real time.
Yeah, we'll talk about the overall tone, the details, the quotes themselves at the presser with me today. So the right guy to have on the show, it's Superstar Dev.
It was interesting, very interesting. Just to let everyone know, I did not go back. So this is like on the first time, and it was there live. So you're doing a lot of things. You're tweeting.
Yeah.
You're asking the questions. You're like retaining all of the information. So it's a lot going on. So I'm not going to say I'm going to misquote, but I would just paraphrase from what I heard.
I've got a lot of transcription here, so I can keep us on the tracks in terms of details as best I can. But yeah, obviously a quick transition. We'll try to cover it all. Dev, let's just start on broader terms. How would you describe the mood, the vibe of that presser, the energy that Josh was bringing in the presser that he held, that he called for?
Yeah, on the vibes, we're gonna start at male forum corner.
Oh, finally!
Josh looks like a super villain.
And whoa!
Yeah, and it was interesting for him to like already come in with that, like, you already had your ideas about him going into this. There was like a lot of, I feel like it was a setup. Like there wasn't gonna be a lot of things that he could have said that would have made you feel a lot better. So he was gonna be the villain no matter what. But then he came in with the look.
Yeah.
And I was like, uh-oh, it is going to be one of those days, and it was.
Yeah, I kind of respect it, really. Like, he's really gone. Like, I described it earlier, he looks like Jack from Twitter.
It's crazy.
Like, this beard of his is, like, immense.
It's full Mission Impossible villain. And he played the role of the villain today, just as, certainly symbolically, it was a presser that, well, it was kicked down the road a bit by some negative COVID tests, but this was a sore subject for fans and media, and not just one subject, I should say. We touched on many things, not just him, the Comcast part of things, potential new plans for an upgrade to a practice facility, the Calvin Booth era. I thought he was a bit bitter today, honestly. Well, let's start with his opening statement. First of all, he's happy for Tim Connelly. Of course, he got an amazing opportunity. And he said, I think back in 2013 when I hired him, I kind of took some flack. So it's funny to be catching some flack with him now on the way out. This is his opening statement. He hasn't fielded a question yet, Dev. And I felt like he was already on the defensive.
Yeah, it was great for him to like set the tone, especially on the timing, like just to give like an overall feel for it. This presser was supposed to happen last week, got pushed back, because he tested positive. So it was a couple of things already brewing for people. The Tim Connelly news, not, you know, speaking about Calvin Booth and things like that. And then also that we haven't seen him in 5+ years. So this is the first time that, you know, media got to actually speak to him. And, I, you know, a lot of people try to say that media does not give him hard questions or media does not grill or it's a lot of softballs. I'll tell you right now, there was not softballs that was thrown to him today. And there was a lot of pressure that was added from media. And he had to answer those questions. So I even want to talk about the tone. It was great to see media give him those. And he had to actually respond, reply, and actually think on the spot. And you've seen that like at times.
That's what I appreciated about him holding this presser. Now, I don't want to give him too much credit for what I perceive as the bare minimum. But and I didn't think his answers were great today. But Eric, as a fan, were you at least felt when he announced that he wanted to hold this press conference, or the team did, did you at least felt you were thrown a very, very small sized bone that you at least deserve answers?
Well, it was, I mean, yes, in the sense that the bone is the bone. It was more like I was thrown shelter. You know what I mean? Like this was not a treat. This was like, I am allowed to stay alive as a Nuggets fan. I mean, this is, you know, I mean, this is not coming from a place of like, oh, just want to kind of update you guys on what's going on, our future plans, what we're kind of viewing. I mean, this came as an absolute like requirement because the fan base is just absolutely on the edge.
Right.
We don't know what any of this means. We are in such a place where we, you know, collectively are sort of feeling like the window is wide open. You know, the only thing that can really screw up what we've sort of put in place is sudden and unforeseen change, which we have been given. So this is a, this, I mean, this has to happen. So I feel like fine, but I don't feel like it was.
We've
a treat.
Got a new fan in the chat. Sorry, oh, what's up
from the Riviera Maya?
We love our fans checking in from all around the
world. I know, dude.
Next time,
if you want us to acknowledge your comment, go ahead and throw us a super chat there. What was it, Harrison?
Harrison.
Well, let's get into some of the more specifics of what Josh actually said. He was asked just how hard did he fight to keep Tim. And he said, I fought as hard as I could. When he went up to Minnesota to have a conversation with Glenn Taylor, A-Rod, Mark Lohr, the context was the term equity was being thrown around a lot. I didn't really understand it because it can mean so many different things in the world of business. But from the very start, Tim said, if there's some sort of equity upside, then I have to consider it for my family. And Josh said, okay. He went on to say Tim was under contract. The offer kind of came through the side door, as they always seem to do in the NBA. Once those types of numbers are being thrown around and get into someone's head, it becomes very difficult. I felt that we made a very competitive offer. Ultimately, he felt that some of the upside there on the back end were probably too good to pass up for his family. Dev, your immediate reaction to that quote, I mean, there's a lot you could touch on in there, but what's just sort of the first thing that jumps out as you when you hear that response?
The word equity was like thrown around a lot of times before there was a follow-up question of what really did that mean? Just because of with Tim Connelly's contract, we didn't really know how much equity was. And Kroenke went on to actually say he didn't know too much what that
still
meant
doesn't.
As well. And he said that that's just kind of part of it. He does not know specifically what was, you know, thrown out there. He did say that they did have conversations surrounding it, and he kept on bringing up the side door comment, which I think was like really interesting because it wasn't a straightforward type of thing. But for him to, you know, keep on talking about equity and then it to get into that, I think that that was him showing us another side that he did not specifically know completely, but also that means that it was going to be difficult for him to match, or at least he did not know what he was going to be, what he was going to be able to match with. So I was glad that someone did finally ask, what did that mean?
I thought it was interesting, Eric, that he said the side door comments, because this is not new.
Yep.
Washington approached him. Tim was in an option year here when they approached him. So that's certainly leaving the side door open. And the Masai situation, which Josh did state today explicitly, was very different. Did not elaborate how, just said it was different. It still also happened. So he says the side door thing, but could he really be surprised by that?
Well, it's, I mean, he of all people understands that he is working in an industry that is based 100% in competition. like you don't have to always approach. I mean, this is like the way that the that warfare used to be conducted, where two armies would line up and there would be a band and a fife player, and they would march with honor towards one another and fight. And then, you know, people figured out, like, oh, you can kind of flank, and you can kind of, there are other tactics you can use in a industry where there can be only one winner. And it just, you know, like, that's like a little, to me, I hear that, I'm like, yeah, that's how it works. Like, people are trying to win,
right?
Like, you can't acknowledge, you can't just like think that there's just a level playing field and people will sort of adhere to these good faith rules of engagement. So I mean that, yeah, like, I mean, what are we talking about here? The side door, like, he's expecting that Mark Lohr and right. Alex Rodriguez are going to call Josh Kroenke and be like, hey, is it cool if we take the guy that built your team?
Well, it's also the third time someone's tried to enter your house through the side door. Like, lock it.
You know? Maybe there's, yeah. Are we sure there's a door there?
Yeah.
And I think that's the main point. You can't be frustrated, you know, if they both threw out an offer and one offer was more. The point that it got to this point, that's where it stands out the most. There was other times that there was people like creeping through the side door, looking in your window, where you're like, you know what, we're gonna build a fortress, or we're gonna protect this guy so we don't have to worry about that. So it should never get here to this point where now you're gonna you lose them. And then words like equity, where you don't even understand where that comes from, goes into play. He went on to keep saying how they're friends, and then there's also business. So those are two different relationships that you had, where right. you could ask what's going on, or, you know, if you're that close, you could say, what do we have to do to keep you around? So he went on to talk about it. I'm sure we're going to get to that part, but he went on to say that if he had a chance to redo it again, he would have redone it again. And he feels that Tim would have redone it again as well.
That they both have some regrets is what he said. Oh, so Eric, the part where he says, once those types of numbers are being thrown around and they get into someone's head, it becomes very difficult. Now, the chat reaction and my reaction as well is, well, was there something you could have done preemptively before those numbers got in his head? Like, for example, putting your own numbers in his head.
Yeah.
A better deal. And look, they weren't going to offer whatever the equity is, which they don't even seem to know. But Tim was on a underwhelming deal approaching an option. So he talks about now he's got to try to make an appealing offer in comparison to these numbers that are now in Tim's head. But couldn't Josh have put different numbers in his head to stay here earlier, you know, and not just about this negotiation to keep Tim, but the work that could have been done earlier to keep him around, as they're willing to do with players and player salary.
There's something to also the idea that clearly something about the way that business is conducted, the structure is set up, like, people don't have that feeling of like inclusion and ownership over this team when they are in like inherently involved in its construction. Like, the fact that Tim could be lured away sort of says that he didn't, like, he saw this obviously as like the Kroenke's team. He was sort of working as a cog in it, but it went, there's not like that feeling of like, this is me, this is my, like, and a lot of that comes from the idea that what you're talking about, like, he's, you know, he's not paid in the way that he's not of other executive. He's immediately, like, because of the way that they brought Tim Connelly on, the way he discussed, like, he was given flack because they did hire a virtual unknown in this world. And with that, we're able to pay him, you know, essentially like a rookie scale contract. And they just, like, never kind of went back to that. Like, it's clear that he didn't sort of grow with his success. So that's the difficult part. Like, because this is a clear pattern we see happening over right. and over again, it's like, okay, so, like, what are you guys doing wrong? Like, why? Like, the general manager of the Celtics, for example, like, they don't just, like, walk away. Like, they get pushed out, but they don't. You can't lure them away, right? Like,
sure.
Vote, can you go into, because there was a time where Josh started speaking about, you know, other billionaires. And then you went on to say, but you're also a billionaire.
We'll get there for sure.
I want to get there.
I do think there were some good follow-ups about Mike Singer of the Denver Post asked, you guys recently extended Michael Malone. Why not also extend Tim with him in that moment? You know, so much talk about his organizational alignment in Denver. So here is Josh on not extending Tim. He takes the timeline back. The Wizards came for Tim several years ago. Part of those discussions were, look, he would come back to Denver. We weren't going to give him exactly what Washington was going to pay him, but through bonuses and very achievable bonuses, he'd be able to achieve that and then some. So a little details there on the Washington deal. Yeah, they sweetened the offer for Tim, but even that deal is not something they went ahead and matched. It wasn't quite the same deal. It was more incentive-based. Now, here's the part that I absolutely hated. Me being the guy that I am, and Tim being my friend, I said, if they offer you a five-year contract, we'll offer you a five-year contract. But let's look at the average at the end of 3 years and see where we are, and we all feel good about it. So I put that contract in there, never anticipating that he'd opt out and go to another NBA team. That's what happened. There was an option in his contract, and he took it. This bothers me for several reasons. First of all, I will stop short of saying throwing Tim under the bus, but it's certainly, this was Tim's choice. Tim took that option, the option that I gave him as a friend. And here's the deal. The reason that option needed to be in that contract was because both parties knew he was being underpaid to begin with. So if that first deal is sweet enough, you don't need that option. Secondly, once you put it in there, you absolutely cannot be surprised that a team would come in and swoop him up and he would decline that option, especially after he was just pursued by a team in his hometown. And there was time in between then and now to upgrade this contract. So I didn't buy that at all, Dev.
Yeah, there was so many opportunities, and that's what he's kind of saying. And also, he made it seem as if he was doing him a favor.
That's how I felt.
And I think that that's, you know, probably where it rubbed Tim Connelly the wrong way. This is a prideful person who has had success, and he's found success, and you want to be paid for that success. That's like human nature for anyone. This is also the NBA where, you know, you're around NBA players, you're around millionaires, and also there's a thing with guaranteed money and then also these incentives. He feels as if he's done enough throughout his time here where you don't have to have those incentives to throw in. You think I'm good enough, prove it to me. If you feel as if we're friends, pay me as such.
Yeah.
You're throwing in these incentives and you're also throwing in all these offers where, like you just said, you understand that you're underpaying me. If we have both have that under agreement, then pay me for that. Yeah. And we don't have to get to that point. And then with the Washington offer, it's like, hey, and now you could even look back in hindsight and say maybe that was an offer just to see how much they care about you or to see how serious of an organization they are for you. Like, where do you stand? So he probably looks back at that and says they didn't care, you know, and that's me speaking on my own personal. I'm not saying that, but that's what it feels like is like they didn't care for you. So now you have to look out for yourself.
Yeah. It's like the type of thing where it's like these two people talking in this world, like Josh Kroenke and Tim Connelly are talking in Josh Kroenke's mind on equal footing. But like Josh Kroenke has 100 beans, just a big pile of beans, 100 of them. And Tim has like a bean. And we're like, he's like, oh, hey, what's the problem? We all got beans here, right? And he's like, bro, we're not the same. Like, you, the scale of like what you're talking about, the and why I should feel comfortable with what I'm given is not is so bizarre coming from somebody with so many beans.
And it's framed as it was Tim's choice to leave, which is technically true. But again, I would argue by a lack of due diligence in putting the proper deal on the table to begin with.
Yes.
He didn't give Tim much of a choice.
As like, he told like you,
he has to do right by his family if this offer's on the table. So maybe he doesn't get to equity. But is there... Here's the deal. Here's what we know, bottom line. We can say this explicitly. Tim did not want to leave. So by virtue of the fact he left, something fell short. Something was not met. We'll move on. Matt Moore asked a great question about the team's willingness to invest in players, but so far not the front office. And he said, can you elaborate on just sort of the team's philosophy on that? And he said, we will always have faith in our process here and the people we hire. Ready for it? We're very proud of the Avs right now. We're very proud. The Rams won the Super Bowl. The Rapids atop of the Western Conference last year. Arsenal's coming. Our model is to hire good people, provide them the resources they need to go and win. We've done a very good job at identifying young front office talent, maybe too good, On the front end of this, I was told how dumb I was, this being hiring Tim. On the back end of it, I'm being told I'm an idiot for letting him go. Ultimately, when you go to the stratosphere that some, I'll say, desperate clubs go to, that is a shot at the Wolves, make no mistake about it. Ultimately, there's a stratosphere that some desperate clubs go to. There's a tier out there that just doesn't really make sense. When Tim said he was pursuing that, I understood. Because the Denver Nuggets are not a startup. We are a well-established small market org yep. with a stated goal of winning a championship, and that has not changed. We made a very competitive offer to Tim. Sometimes people will put things on the table where you just can't go. And again, fellas, that just begs the question, why wait now? Why wait until that offer went on the table? But also, Dev, some spicy owner talk there, some shots at another team.
Yeah, you've seen it come full circle in this comment. You've seen him lash out. You've seen him give himself credit. You've seen him throw shots. Like, really, this is where it comes full circle,
like,
because
every night
it's a decision that he made and he had to go through. You know, I feel like he applied pressure everywhere besides just saying it's on me as well. And that's where he could have threw in that there were mistakes that were made and he would like to do it differently. But, I mean, at the end of the day, Tim Connelly did what was best for him, what was best for his future. And it just keeps on going back to the fact that it should not have gotten to that point where you don't have to get there for it all.
Yeah. It's cool. That, like, the one thing I do like hearing people that are actually in the know, or people that are the know, which is Josh Kroenke, report back, like, how the organization works, what their philosophy is, and it's exactly as we've said. Like, I feel good. Like, we're observing. We're seeing from the outside exactly how this is run. Like, and he's right. This is what we keep saying. Like, they really do get successful franchises that work and work well. It's just they don't. The thing is that they don't. They're not good about maintaining them.
Yes, and there was a different question today where in his answer, Josh ultimately said, "We do not have a red-haired stepchild in the KSC sports org family."
Yeah,
but
called,
they do.
It's called Flatirons Red.
But they do. They do. And that was the thing about, like, he had an when asked about the team's philosophy towards front office personnel, he talked about how well all of the other teams are doing
right.
that are not the Denver Nuggets. And this was a Denver Nuggets press conference. Spare me. And actually, what you're telling me is that you can achieve success.
Right.
So a lack of success in Denver, let me follow the logic here. What can I trace this back to? You know, you just spent millions on a steal the draft commercial for the Rams. There's a red-haired stepchild. That's a load of shit. this question was about the Nuggets. His answer was about Arsenal and the Avs. I mean,
I get it. I get it. He's like just defending their general
general
approach.
They're not all miserable.
Yeah, they're like, listen, I understand that I'm being painted as incompetent and that we don't know what we're doing and like how could we let things get to this? But you need to understand we do have successful results in this world. It's just like, I know you guys are pissed off about this. It's just you have to see the larger forest for the trees. But we don't care about that larger fucking forest. We're talking about the Nuggets, my guy.
Exactly. That he did make one comment about this is a team that was just in the Western Conference Finals.
Yes.
So he did kind of throw that in at the end of this portion.
That's true.
One positive about this quote, especially going back to like the startup and thing, is to see how he views the Nuggets opposed to the Timberwolves, who I feel like they were just, you know, neck and neck just a couple of years ago. And now he feels as if Denver has risen. So I think that is great for the ownership to just, you know, say that and to see it in a different light than just two teams being on the same level.
That's a good point. He did say the Nuggets ultimately. And we will talk about his perspective on the team and where they're at and where they're. This isn't all just bemoaning the past. We've sort of broken this up to chunks. On the equity, yeah, he elaborated and reiterated that he still doesn't quite know what that is. And he said, you'll have to ask Tim and you'll have to ask the Wolves. But I find that interesting because we're talking about what apparently is the difference between these two offers. I mean, 5 years, eight guaranteed is absolutely something that Stan Kroenke can match. And so as he just continued to describe the Wolves as a desperate franchise, and he talked about this offer as an offer that is a lot of money. And this is true. This is a big offer. I followed up and said, well, hang on, don't you guys have a lot of money? So what was the thing that put this over the top? to where you felt like it wasn't worth it. I felt like he dodged the question. I felt like he talked around it. I think we're ultimately talking about this equity thing. But again, I feel inclined to note that we're talking about something that he doesn't even fully understand. I just think that the Nuggets had the resources to put a actually competitive offer on the table, or at least do it within a time frame that changes the perspective on these things. I don't. He told us multiple times that they put a very competitive offer together. I don't believe him. I don't believe him, or at least not in time.
Well, competitive is relative, right?
I guess that's true.
He. I'm sure that he's speaking like if there wasn't this like out of its mind, bonkers, desperate offer from the startup franchise, which is the Minnesota Timberwolves, in play in relation to all other GMs across the NBA. This is in line with that. I'm sure that's what he meant by it. But, we'll get back to this over and over and over. The real failing here is just not making Tim Connelly feel as important as he actually is. That comes from in the world of business, you speak through money. But it doesn't always have to come down to that. You know, the fact that he could be got says everything.
Right. Well said, Dion.
That's just all there is. It's like the fact that there's like a lot of attractive people in the world, you know? And if you're in a relationship that you where you feel loved and secure and...
Hang on, he's next to you.
Yeah.
Don't steal it from
him. Dev was once in a relationship where his lady could be got, and she was. because Dev was not wholly committed and did not make her feel like she was the only one. there are lots of very competitive offers out there. Me, for example. I mean, who knows what I could... Dev, don't bring your girlfriend around me. But the point is that if you have created an environment, and it's difficult because we're talking about emotional bond versus business bond, but there is a lot of family in the way that Josh Kroenke is describing how they are conducting business, particularly with Tim Connelly and the Denver Nuggets, citing the fact that they were friends, citing the fact that, you know, he's proud about finding him, bringing him in. These are not business terms. These are not ways to talk about a business relationship. And so he is talking about it more from a familial and a emotional bond, and he did not make him feel loved, secured, and important.
To that note, I do think Josh is taking this personally, the reaction to this, in a way that maybe Stan wouldn't, which I do think implies some level of passion or caring. I want to talk a little bit more about the way he framed Minnesota's offer and maybe the juxtaposition of those two ownerships approach.
Yes.
Before we get into the Comcast situation, there was a comment on practice facilities. And of course, Calvin Booth, small update there as well. Let's get a quick break, though, fellas, because we got to talk to the people about Ivaka TV, which right now is
get
one of
the
best
going.
Ways. I'm going to say it's the best way, besides coming to this bar to watch. Well, you can't watch the Nuggets right now, but you can watch the Colorado Avalanche chase that cup, because Ivaka TV has services like Altitude Sports and AT&T Sportsnet. And more importantly, it's available in Denver and Colorado Springs. That's why we're telling you. Don't miss the Western Conference Finals. God, the Avs are fun. I'm thinking they're going to the finals. Don't miss that either. Go to ivaka.tv/DNVR. Use the promo code DNVR. That's us. You'll get $10 off your first 3 months. That's only $15 per month for the first 3 months, plus receiver, no contract, no hidden fees. And while you are paying Ivaka to get the Nuggets back on your TV, maybe DraftKings will put some of that money back in your pocket. If you know what you're doing, that is. Right now, DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook, which is somewhere in the draft read, is offering this sweet deal. Download this DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code DNVR. Make any $5 bet during the NBA Finals. You'll get $150 in free bets instantly. That's promo code DNVR, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Hey, that's an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Must be 21 or older. Colorado only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
Did you say nude customers only?
Did I?
Just curious.
Like. When pointing out that Minnesota didn't really tell Denver if they were actually offering equity too. And that is a good point. Like, this is a, you know, in terms of how do you match or respond with an offer, I don't even think the Nuggets ever fully understood what the offer was. I don't know if that makes you feel better or worse about the way they navigated it, but that's a point that should be understood. Dev, desperate franchise, a startup. The Denver Nuggets are not. But the Wolves seem aggressive right now. The Wolves seem to want to elevate, to evolve from a seemingly desperate franchise to one of the big boys. What was your perspective on Josh's perspective on how the Wolves are operating?
Calling them desperate, like, you know, in a way like that, I think it does make sense because this is a team that just has not been winning. They're a team that, sorry, they just have a lot of questions to be asked. So you're supposed to think that the same way that the Lakers or someone else would think about Denver. Like, I really do feel like you're supposed to do those type of things. For him to be so bitter and so angry at the time and then for it to be so fresh, I think that's where you could put more emphasis on it because he's talking about these side doors. He's talking about startup and being desperate and things like that. I think it has to do with the timing because if he said that right after the season, they all are all in the same boat. So I do think that it's hitting him a little bit harder than what he's saying.
Dude, he is scorned. Like he feels like a lover scorned. It's a bummer. I mean, it sucks, man. You gotta make your feet. If someone's important to you, you gotta make them feel that way. That really just is how it boils down in every avenue of life.
But also, I just don't know if I'm here for the Nuggets taking some sort of high ground on the Wolves. I mean, you haven't played in a finals. You did draft an MVP, but the guy that drafted him is gone now.
Well,
the
one thing I will say is that he is saying that the Wolves are acting in a manner as though they are a startup. They are willing to throw all caution to the wind. They are willing to make because it's a new ownership group that has not been in the NBA.
Sure. Right?
So like they're coming in guns blazing, sort of like wanting to make a deal that people that have been around the NBA would not make. They're like, no, because they sort of like know. Right. So that, I mean, that is what I'm taking from this.
Sure.
They are acting like they're acting like new money here.
But is aggressive the same thing as desperate? And I certainly know this fan base is desperate for this ownership
for
group
sure.
to be aggressive.
We would love them
to act. Because it's not just the Tim thing. They also just built a new training facility. They also gave Tim the commitment to spending, to making this a first-class organization. What has Josh or the Nuggets or Stan done to stand up and say, we're not a startup? Yeah, you're right. You're just an unsuccessful. And he kept trying to paint the team as a small market team. Denver's not that small of a market. There's a perception of the Denver Nuggets as a small market because you refuse to invest in them.
Yeah.
Who has the power to make the Nuggets seem like a bigger, a more valuable product? And this like a more valuable market, if not the Kroenkes?
It's true. This is, again, is like the fact that you are dealing with an ownership group that has its fingers in many sports pies and they sort of like understand the larger landscape. And so they sort of act in an aloof manner that is not in accordance with the way that we value the Denver Nuggets. We look at the Denver Nuggets. Denver Nuggets fans feel about the Denver Nuggets. They're just, I mean, this is what it comes down to when you have a conglomerate that is the Kroenkes sort of in charge of everything, is that they have the ability to remove emotion from all of these discussions when we're talking about the thing that is most emotional to a person like me. This is like the most emotional relationship I have in my life. The Denver Nuggets, like I scream at them. I care about them. They ruin my day. They make my life. And, you know, for someone to have such a cold approach to it that is just sort of not even calculated, but just transactional, it's very frustrating.
So we got into that as well. I asked Josh if he believes in any particular owner or ownership group's sense of obligation to a city or actual obligation to a city beyond just owning and operating a business in the traditional sense. Do you feel an obligation to build something that people of the city and the state can feel proud of?
Yes.
And he said yes. And
he's like, no.
And he said yes, and he called them community assets.
They are.
So I followed up and I said, do you believe your father is meeting that obligation? And he said yes, absolutely. He cited the Avs operating at a loss. You know, a lot of pro teams operate at a loss. Yet the owners still seem to have more money every year, and the team seems to be worth more every year. He talked about the great loss that they're operating at with altitude right now. He basically cited how expansive his father's empire is in Denver and all the work he's done to keep it all on the tracks. But again, to me, like, this misses this smaller point that he whiffed on, which is like, hey, man, if it's too much for you to handle, you know, having all of these different properties, sell one of them, particularly this one. You know, like, again, it goes back to the stepchild comment, which I'm not buying for a second. Anyway, he did make a somewhat impassioned defense of his father's commitment, citing all the losses they operate at. You know, I don't really love hearing billionaires whinge about operating at a loss while their, like, value seems to go up every year.
We only like to hear Katie whinge.
That's right.
But, yeah, but it was interesting for him to, you know, speak on. First off, he, like, backed his father. Like, he really did back him in every single way and tried to paint a picture of, you guys don't understand the financial aspects that we have to go through or the type of losses that actually do come with all of these type of things. So I do think that that gave you something to think about. I mean, him being a billionaire, it we don't care. Honestly, like that's just being, like, honest. Yeah. But at least he did try to paint that, like, that picture. And also, this is where I feel like he was, like, the most defensive throughout the entire conference, because he wanted to say, I am trying, or we are trying, and we are doing things that also you guys speak about, or you guys, you know, have asked about. And I feel like this is where he probably prepped the most going into this this presser. Just because it was more so around the financial aspects of it all. So I think that it was a great question. And while it wasn't the answer that that we wanted, I think it was the answer that he wanted to give.
Sure. Or definitely the answer that Stan wanted to hear.
Yeah, I mean, like, listen, I am trying on all of this to, like, to sort of understand the perspective of Josh Kroenke and the Kroenkes in general on a lot of this, because we are very close to the Denver Nuggets.
We are passionate about them.
We are very passionate about them.
I'm a fan.
Yes, I love the Denver Nuggets. They've shaped my adult life, and I love giving my time to them. I love thinking about them and focusing on them, and because I believe that they are returning that care and focus and investment in kind. And if you feel like, you know, this is becomes a one-sided thing where you care more about the team than the team does, then it becomes problematic. It becomes difficult to follow a team. But I mean, like, just to his point, like, there is, like, that's true. They are, you know, they are operating at a loss with when it comes to altitude. They are not just, this is not pure profit for them. And the other thing is that the Nuggets, to this point, I would say we're in a really great position. They were doing everything the right way. They were positioned in such a way that it feels still as though the championship window is wide open. It's just that then this is a little bit of a the curtain has been pulled back, and then the wizard is not maybe operating as calculated as maybe we thought. You know, it's sort of you sort of get the hands-off approach that is clear that the current Kroenke organization runs with, because frankly they have to. They're only, like, two guys really to oversee all of these teams. They can only have so much focus on anyone at any given time, and that shows you, like, the greatest strength and the absolute greatest weakness of the organization is that if a team requires your attention, do you have it to give? And the answer is no.
So, a couple of notes. I should also note at one point Josh Kroenke took an opportunity to clarify that he is not the owner. His dad is. That is a fact. But also, I think, listen, it's something, it's a weird dynamic. We've got Josh up here answering for decisions that I'm not entirely sure to what extent they were his. Or versus were the final call.
Yeah, like when people ask you about the show and you're like, I don't know why Eric said that. I don't know why Eric said that. I don't know. I'm sorry.
Ask Adam. Like, I don't know.
I don't know why he used that word. I agree. It's offensive.
And also he was asked about if his presence in Denver and if his level of engagement will change at all now that Tim's gone, and, you know, didn't get too much into specifics, but did say yes, that this is a period of transition, and he thinks it's important for, you know, so I guess he wouldn't say ownership because he's not the owner, but him to be there during that period of transition. Let's move on to the Comcast situation. There were a lot of questions about getting the team on TV. Just going to let you know right now, none of these answers are going to make you feel that great, but the questions were asked.
Buckle up, people.
He said from the start that, you know, they're in an ongoing lawsuit with Comcast, so he has to choose his words very carefully. Only say so much. On Comcast, I am equally as frustrated as the fans are, if not more so. We're in the middle of an active lawsuit with Comcast, so I have to choose my words carefully. The landscape of media is changing more rapidly than it ever has. Distribution is changing more rapidly than it ever has. In the world of television, Altitude is not a big, big guy. It's been very tough, but our primary concern is we want to make it available to all of our fans. I can't give a time frame on that. We are working very hard.
Yeah.
Eric, you're a fan. What do you think?
Here is, do you guys know about capitalism? Capitalism is a rough little biz if you have your emotions wrapped up in it. What's happening when it comes to Comcast is that we are entering late stage capitalism, whereby every business is ultimately going to merge into one business. Comcast is in a position where they control the stream, and they are trying to cut off all of the people that are contributing to the stream. They want to be the people that make the content and deliver the content, because that is a closed loop and they can make an unbelievable amount of money from it. And so they are offering the Kroenkes a like disgustingly low figure to continue to carry their sports network on and distribute it. So the Kroenkes are in a place because they do not have distribution themselves, where they are reliant on somebody who is trying to choke them out, because they themselves want to be the network that shows the Nuggets and has the Nuggets post game and has all things Nuggets. The Kroenkes want to tell their own story with their own network, which is sort of a unique situation in the history of sports. These RSNs are like not the way that sports have typically operated. Like, you don't have I think it started with the Yes Media, the Yankees Entertainment, whatever it is. Like, and now other, like, the Kroenkes saw that. They were like, oh, cool, we can have the team and we can have the media. That's a great, another little close to a closed loop scenario. But they don't have the distribution, which means they are reliant on somebody who now is trying to kill them. So all that to say, this is incredibly frustrating. The Kroenkes are in a position where if they accept the deal that's been given to them, they are establishing a precedent whereby they could never be profitable again. So I hate the scenario, the situation more than anything, but what it comes down to is just, again, the Kroenkes have too many things they're paying attention to at one given time, and ultimately they're not paying attention to anything. So they put themselves in these situations where they are vulnerable and it's terrible. So and both Comcast and the Kroenkes are using the fans as leverage.
That's true. Dev, on the element of him being equally as frustrated as the fans are, if not more so, do you buy that? Do you think fans want to hear that right now?
I think he said what he was supposed to say completely. But I will say that I'm not going to buy it. He's not as upset, of course, as the fans. Like, he gets to watch the games. They don't. And also they're looking at him and saying, just eat it, eat the money. But also what he went on to say is what actually like kept me around to like, okay, now he does like kind of understand, or at least has an understanding of what's happening, is he started talking about when the Avalanche did win it, you know, a long time ago.
Right.
He went on to talk about how, the fans are still fans based off of that time, or that's how you build those type of fan bases.
Yep.
It's from those type of things. So for him to have the acknowledgement and to just still speak on that when talking about something that's happening right now, it goes to show that he does have an understanding, or at least he has had the thought of, you do have to get those young fans. You do have to keep everyone around and also interested in what's happening right now. And he kept on alluding to having, you know, Nikola Jokic, who is the back-to-back MVP, having the Avs that have a chance to win it all again right now, and not having the opportunity for every fan in Colorado to become more or bigger fans. So while I don't completely buy it, I do understand that. I really do feel like he would like an answer, at least to not have this happen right now.
And listen, I fully acknowledge, despite however critical I'm willing to be of ownership, that Comcast is putting them in a tough spot. I believe that.
Dude, but it's antitrust and collusion.
I think one of the issues, again, it's kind of like the Tim thing. You know, we're talking about things at a breaking point, but what work was done to avoid breaking points or to have alternatives in place? He did talk about a streaming solution. Here's what we got for you. They've had talks. They're not quite there yet. So more kicking the can down the road on Comcast.
Dude, we set up an Ivaca TV channel in like a weekend.
Yeah, I don't listen.
What are you doing?
I'm going to just be that guy that says, I don't know what the answer is, but I'm willing to believe there is one. And you've given us nothing. And
we bought nothing. Yeah, we bought an internet connection and we made a network.
Breckenridge Brewery is the official beer of DNVR. Beers are on top and regular seltzers are being sold in the bar. We love Breck Brews, particularly that Avalanche Amber Ale. I'm going to call it the classic, the original. Don't even know if that's true. What's better than the Avs scoring two goals in the first period? How about a free beer with your two goals? On game days, start your Avs game with an Avalanche Amber Ale at any bar, particularly this one, though, because we love you. And save that receipt. If the Avs score two or more goals in the first period, Breck Brew will pay for your beer via rebate. Just upload your receipt on breckbrew.com. Check them out. There's no better way to support DNVR than by supporting our friends. And Breck Brew, they're still Colorado, baby. And you better believe that they are our friends. Speaking of friends, my friend Eric loves to eat pizza. And one of his favorite places to get pizza is from Sexy Pizza.
You want to know why? Because I'm so sexy.
Because Eric's so sexy because he feels sexy when he eats it. And he rubs it all over himself. You know, we've had Sexy Pizza at every Broncos tailgate. And it's delicious. And with the Avs in the Stanley Cup playoffs, we have a special discount offer for the homies starting June 2nd. Hey, that was yesterday. Until June 12th, our fans can get 15% off their entire order using the promo code DNVRAVS. That's one word, DNVRAVS.
DNVRAVS.
And we encourage you to order Sexy Pizza and say, look, I'm throwing a little home Avs watch party here. You want to help us out? You got a pizza? Dude. You got a pizza you can give me? And they're going to have pizza for you. Order online, get 15% off your order. Go to www.sexy.pizza. That's www.sexy.pizza. Use the promo code DNVRAVS. This offer is available June 2nd through June 12th. Get sexy by eating pizza.
Dude, Sexy Pizza, one of the only places in Denver that like really get it when it comes to pizza.
That is actually true. I'm really pizza snobby.
I know. Brendan's from the East Coast.
Have you guys heard?
He's tormented by the Celtics. He loves pizza, and he has bad opinions, but he does recognize what good pizza is. So
good pizza. The best bagel I've had in Colorado, Grand Lake, by the way. If you're in Grand Lake, check out the new bagel joint. Okay, so I did not feel particularly satiated with regards to Comcast, but I wasn't expecting much. I suppose it is true that he's in an active lawsuit. They're trying is still the message. There was a question about a new facility, and I will give you the answer before I add an important detail. I got to find it, though, and I should have been prepared.
Sure.
This is why we miss...
That's true a lot of times. Most times I do something with you.
This is why we miss Adam all of the time. He said there are plans in place to build a facility that will not only make the Nuggets and Avalanche players proud, but also the city of Denver proud. Now, here's the deal. Josh also said that there were plans on the table in 2017, the last time he spoke with media on the record, I believe. Fact check me on that. 99% sure that's correct. It's been 5 years. They haven't built them yet. So Ryan Blackburn wisely followed up and asked, are these plans something that the current iteration of the Nuggets and Av will be able to see the fruits of that labor? Josh's answer was probably.
He's like, does anyone have a 20-year contract?
That's the plan. That's the plan. So there is a plan, Dev, it sounds, to upgrade facilities. Obviously, there was something that was leaked back online, I think a few months back, but it's still just a plan. And he said this 5 years ago. Are you buying it this time?
I am not buying it. I'm actually glad that Ryan Blackburn did have that follow-up to try to see if, basically without asking straight up, like, is it going to happen anytime soon?
Yeah.
Like, that was the great way to say that. He even went on to say it's a good question. But for him to say probably instead of, like, a definitive answer, especially after having so long of not putting your money there or not talking about it or anything like that, I don't see it happening. And also, once it does not happen, then what? You could just do the same thing. And it's like, oh, yeah, it's coming. It's coming soon.
Do you want my read on this?
Yeah, of course, dude.
The Kroenkes don't look at Ball Arena as a long-term play. The Kroenkes are looking to move the team somewhere, and so they don't want to build a practice facility for the teams that are playing there. They would like to invest it when they build the new arena. I this is my first time hearing or thinking about this, but I believe that there's no reason they couldn't just get something built. If they built the most elaborate NFL arena in really no time flat.
It's a spaceship.
It's a spaceship, and it was complicated, and it was built in L.A. So to me, I'm seeing like, okay, they're waiting because I know for a fact they are currently looking to redevelop that entire area that they own, which includes the current Elitches and that riverfront property in that area. They're looking to really make a big deal about that riverfront living area. I guarantee that's it. That's what they're, that's a long-term plan. Otherwise they could just easily build, they, if nothing else, they could revamp their current facility.
Ray asks, are you talking, Eric, are you theorizing about knocking down the current arena or moving to a different market?
Not leaving for another market, like building. There's been talks you've heard about, like the Broncos potentially moving out towards where Dick's Sporting Goods Park is. There is cheaper real estate that exists in the city of Denver. There's very, very profitable, very valuable real estate that's currently being used by things that don't maximize their value.
Okay.
So that's my theory. I don't know anything except for that.
You know,
that's what that sounds like.
You always seem to, though. You know.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
for
a guy who
doesn't know anything, you know, like
amount. My whole time on Earth, I spend listening to things and recognize repeated patterns in life. And when you hear people say things,
it's true. You are old, so like a lot of patterns.
I'm very old. I've seen things happen over and over again. And there's the fact that they can't build a practice facility, and it sounds like he wants to. They could easily take away 50 parking spots and just build one on the back of Ball Arena if this was a real true thing that they wanted to get done. But then you have to be like, why would they not want to get that done? Other than the money, which is not really a factor in their world, because they're also real estate mavens. You know, you know that if they wanted to make it a real estate thing, they could easily put like a club in the bottom or a bar at the top or some other way to like monetize that outside of it just being the practice facility. The fact that they have not done it tells me that they are waiting something out.
Okay, let's move our eyes forward as we did at some points in that press conference. We'll talk about Josh's perspective on the Nuggets now, Dev, and the Calvin Booth era. He did say that he's talked to Malone, Jamal, Jokic since all of this. Feels good to go. Everyone agrees. The goal hasn't changed. Everyone's on the same page. What are your thoughts on his comments and his current perspective on where the team is at, what they need to do?
I mean, he didn't straight up say like they're ready to like to close the door and then move on into a new direction. But again, it continues every single time you hear about Calvin Booth, you hear about the word aggressive and a person who is not afraid to make those tough decisions. So really, that has to be his pitch, or that had to be the biggest thing going for Calvin Booth, where he was the one that was making those tough ones, or at least making his voice heard. So you do have to know that there are going to be changes, and fans have to be ready for that and okay with that, because that is coming. He talks about very tough decisions. Gronke also went on and said something, especially when talking about the luxury tax of, and it was so subtle how he said it, but he made a comment of, this exact team right now, how constructed, is not a championship team. And then he went around that. But that was a comment that was made, which it stood out to me. Like,
do you think he just meant that the guys were like health or?
So and he went on to actually like speak about that later, where he said when this team is fully healthy, I do feel like this is a championship caliber team. But when you have already discussed the aggression and the fact that Calvin Booth is going to make changes, and then you say like there is going to be something that's done, you have to know that he is going to use him, and that's going to be what he's there for. So I would expect some shakeup.
Eric, Josh also said it's championship or bust right now, and I think that's the first time I've heard those words echoing around this hallway.
To be fair, that you haven't heard from him ever.
No, that's still him talking. That it's the first time he's heard those comments in the hallway.
Oh, gotcha. We've been in build mode, and now we're to the point where we've built it, and now it's time, like, okay, cool. If you're not skipping steps, if you're building things the right way, you're ultimately building towards something. Like, now is the time. We have now gotten to the place where we're no longer talking about being plucky and, you know, like making the right moves and finding that superstar, building that core. We have that. Check, check, check. Like, now, if you're not, we find out how serious you actually are. You know, like, it's been fun. We've been, things have been going well. Right. It's been really impressive to see, but at a certain point, like if you're not serious about getting to the next level, like we're wasting everyone's time.
Sure. And step one, let your president walk. Okay. He also talked about Calvin Booth, whom he said, look, he's worked under who's now the head of the Bulls and now the Timberwolves. He was sought after. There were multiple interviews for Calvin before he settled in Denver. So this is a coveted guy, a guy that they believe in. They're not going to say anything else right now. But I also truly get that sense. Dev, also, the Nuggets announced today on social media, briefly and then deleted, that Calvin is going to get the President of Basketball Operations title, but we were told by PR before we left that is actually not true, at least not yet. As of right now, Calvin Booth is the head decision maker, but his title is GM. Do you have any reaction to that?
I feel like you have to say those things just because you want to like cover yourself in every way, but also it goes to show that there still hasn't been anything that has been done since then. And we're already coming off of Tim Connelly type of decision. So it was great that that Kroenke actually did go on and say that in the near future, they are going to make that push or they're going to make that change and there's going to be conversations. He went on to talk about, you know, the fact that he had COVID and, you know, the team hasn't been bouncing around. He also wanted to make sure that we all knew that Calvin Booth is still working. He's working hard and right. He's not, you know,
scouting
he's
right
in
now.
A gym right yeah. now. Trying to find the next thing, so it just has not worked out and things like that. But also what he went on to, he made sure to let it be known that Calvin Booth being a former NBA player was like a big difference for the organization as well. They have a basketball, not only a basketball mind, but a former basketball player who's going to look at it in a lot of different ways. So I feel like he did endorse and back Calvin Booth on intangibles that he has that Connelly did not have. Yeah.
There was a question about Calvin's financial instability and if, you know, would that contract be upgraded at all, whether that's an upgrade in title or you know, or length. And Josh did, as Dev just alluded to, sort of answer that in vague terms, but he did say we may have an announcement coming up for you. And of course there was that tweeted and deleted tweet. Maybe they are planning on upgrading him promoting him to president. The reason I care, Eric, is because I do think these titles are more closely tied to pay structure than yes. anything else. So until Calvin gets that pay bump, my read on this is, oh, you're just comfortable underpaying another guy at the GM spot, right. You know?
So yeah, I mean the Pobo President of Basketball or Operations felt almost like a made-up title to me. It was Tim achieved that when he was almost poached by the Wizards. To that point, like there wasn't a President of Basketball Operations before Tim Connelly. I don't know when the last time there was one, or even if there ever was one before that at all. Like having just the GM as the title for Tim was sufficient for the number of years
right.
to be able to run
right.
the team
he was the head decision maker yes. in both titles.
Yes. And I don't feel that like Calvin Booth deserves to suddenly be promoted to president. First off, it's again like kind of a made up title. Like, who cares? Like
my concern is just
are they paid enough?
Are they just gonna do this again? Yeah.
I don't mind though, like if from Josh Kroenke's point of view, like what has Calvin Booth done at this point to it could be argued from the other side, like, okay, so then is this your guy or not?
Right.
Like, if this is just like a default move because you've not had time to
think
about it.
We're talking about leaving side doors open.
Do you believe in this guy? If you believe in this guy, make a gesture to the world and to him and to us that this is not just like, well, okay, we're just kind of let
right.
things play out. We'll see if it's good. We'll see if it's bad. I don't know.
Like, right. And again, an announcement may be on the way in the pipeline, but for now, what you need to know for now, Calvin Booth is that head decision maker in the GM spot. Dev, ultimately, did you hear enough today? Do you feel encouraged, discouraged? Do you feel differently about the Denver Nuggets after listening to Josh Kroenke speak?
I feel about the same. Just like questions, which is interesting because we were there to ask questions. Like I really do. Yeah, I feel like
do it.
I feel like we already came in with like the notion like predetermined of like, this is what he's going to say. We already knew, like, he had the cliche talk. He didn't like really give you an answer that like threw you off or like, oh, that's something that I didn't think about. Like, I feel like everything that he said today was actually there. I also think that it was more so about the media today than it was Kroenke, of them getting off questions and having questions that, you know, fans, Nuggets fans around the world want to hear and at least on the spot hear and see how he feels. So I think that there are people that came out of that and they were like, okay, at least he did answer them. And also there was some very tough questions to be answered. But also I think there's people that are like, I didn't find anything new out. Right. And I'm along that ones. There was nothing new from the conference that I was just like, oh, okay, like that makes sense, or I feel way more confident. I think the best thing that he said was, I talked to Jamal Murray, I talked to Jokic, and they're okay with Calvin Booth, and they're ready to move forward.
Goal hasn't changed, championship or bust. Yeah. Let's keep it locked in. That's the encouraging stuff, I think.
Yeah. Josh, oh man, this whole thing.
Super cool.
Like, well, to me, like, to the purpose of today was it to be a cathartic release for people that are frustrated with Josh Kroenke. Like, at a certain point, like, if you are the guy, like, you have to show your face and you have to get yelled at, you know, like, you have to, you have to feel the frustration.
I'm glad he did that, at least.
That's what I mean. Yeah. Like, I
don't think the answers were great. But.
No, like, listen, everything that I've heard, as Dev says, like, this is not new information. We look at this team, we study this team, we are very acutely aligned with what's going on with the team. So I can't imagine a new answer. Like, we hypothesize all of this, and it's like not that hard to sort of like understand what's happening there. So like it's nice to hear confirmation just from that standpoint. Yeah. But like, really today was just about like, yo, you hurt us and now you need to get hurt. Like, that's kind of like, that's the fan thing. Like, you need to understand how frustrated people are with this and how much passion we have put towards the Denver Nuggets, and we need to understand that it is being returned in kind. That's it.
It's a great point. I think the one question I still have, which I don't think we could have just asked him explicitly, maybe we could have, I honestly don't know how we would get the best answer, but to what extent is Josh in charge? To what extent were these his choices? If they were entirely his choices, would things have gone differently? I don't think these are things he can talk about transparently, and so that makes it tough. Sure. One answer I do have, whether this bears fruit, whether this matters, because you guys know I'm not a huge fan of this ownership, I do think Josh is taking this personally, as I said earlier, a lot of this, which I do think implies that he cares about this in maybe a more hands-on way.
Yes.
Than his father does. But again, what does that mean if his father's the one making the decision? So some questions still in the air. We appreciate you hanging with us. You got the details. You have our reactions. It aired on Altitude. I think it's going to re-air later tonight. I encourage you to watch it and draw your own reactions. We gave you the details, but you can make your own reads. We don't want to just tell you how to feel.
I do. What I said was right.
So check that out. Hopefully next week, I think Adam and Harrison are back. We might continue this discussion a little more, as I'm sure the fellas will want to bite into this. But we appreciate you tuning in today. Hope you got what you needed out of it. And enjoy your weekends. It's Friday, baby.
And again, listen, sky's not falling. This is not great. This doesn't feel great. And the problem is we don't have basketball to turn to. We only have the business of basketball to focus on and watch other teams still playing.
Right.
And so it feels like we're in a very hopeless place. The Nuggets are not who we think they are. The Avalanche are doing well. The sky is not falling. We have Nikola Jokic. He's the top human being. And with that, all things are possible.
Our tone will change, but people have to be held accountable. All right. We're out of here. Enjoy your weekends. We will talk to you guys on Monday.
Let's go.